Hello and welcome back to Doc Talk. If you've been keeping an eye on recent developments in ophthalmic care, then you'll know that several new therapeutic agents have been approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration in recent months, including ranibizumab delivered via port delivery system and faricimab, the latter of which became the first of its kind intravitreal bispecific biologic therapy for both age-related macular degeneration and diabetic macular edema. But the recent advancements in ophthalmology don't stop there. As Director of Clinical Trials at University Retina, Dr. Viral Sheth would explain, there's so much going on in the world of eye care that it's been, quote, hard to keep track of all the work. In this episode of Doc Talk, Dr. Sheth sits down with Associate Editor Connor Iapoci to discuss the potential of gene therapy, developments in both wet and dry AMD spaces, new approaches in the management of pigment dispersion syndrome, and the benefits of home-based optical coherence tomography.
Really, it's just sort of an overarching question, you know, nothing too specific. I wanted to ask, you know, about some new advancements or headline news in retina that you've really been focusing on in your own research and your own practice. And, you know, what should our audience know about some of these advancements?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's the way I look at the advancements happening in our space right now, it's, you know, it's kind of three categories. We've got wet AMD, dry AMD, and imaging. I think those are really the three kind of hot topics right now. Wet AMD has been a hot topic for nearly two decades now. But even in that space, you know, you can look at and break it down into, you know, looking at traditional targets like anti-VEGF, but approaching them in different ways or so non-traditional ways, like gene therapy, for example. So gene therapy is really kind of where we're looking at and putting in a lot of our focus as far as a clinical trial site. We're excited about it. I think it's really kind of game-changing technology and talking about reducing treatment burden for patients. And so, you know, that's one aspect. And then looking at, you know, maybe more non-traditional targets. So, you know, you've got molecules like UBX looking at retinal senescence. You've got TKIs or TK inhibitors looking at just different ways to approach these problems. And then you've got companies like Opthea looking at, you know, different VEGF isomers. And so there's a lot of really good work being done. It's amazing. It's hard to keep track of all the work, but they're all at various stages too. And it looks like some of these are moving along well. And that's exciting because that means for us, you know, we get new therapies for patients and we get to give them additional hope and reduce treatment burden and give them better results. You know, patients ask all the time, you know, doc, am I going to be doing these injections forever and ever? And the answer is only if nothing changes from the standpoint of what becomes available. And so the fact is that we do have a lot on the horizon. I mean, even, you know, it's worth mentioning just the recent approval of faricimab of Vabysmo, right? And seeing patients transition to that and respond well to that has been reassuring. And then, you know, in the dry AMD space, ton going on, right? I mean, especially when you talk about GA, GA is probably one of the most frustrating things we deal with on a day-to-day basis because we watch patients going blind visit to visit, and there's nothing we can do at this point. And so having something, an option for those patients and giving them some hope is really exciting. And so I know there's a lot of work being done there recently with Apellis and Derby Oaks, Iveric Bio, and then you've got gene therapy kind of in that arena as well. And so there's a lot of exciting work being done. And then imaging is pretty cool too. I mean, I think, you know, like anything else, you know, going and seeing more high definition, kind of really high contrast imaging OCTs is pretty cool. I think it's going to help us better understand disease, right? We're going to get to the histopathologic level, the cellular level of what's going on with a lot of these diseases. So, you know, if we do get more and more treatments available to us, especially if they're different than just anti-VEGF, the question is really going to be, well, who are those treatments for? You know, how do we decide which patient should get treatment A versus treatment B versus a combination of them? We're really going to have to kind of dig a little deeper now and not just say, hey, there's fluid or no fluid, but actually get to the cellular level and say, where is the pathology in this patient and how do we best treat that?
Yeah, it's excellent. Thank you so much for sharing all that. You know, I was curious beforehand asking about gene therapy. I know you had mentioned it a few times for AMD and GA, but what does the timeline look for that? Look for that, you know, moving forward, what does the future look like? And I guess ultimately, how does that benefit the patient?
Yeah, so the first part of your question, you know, what's the timeline? I think we're still years away, right? I think we're just at the beginning of some of these bigger pivotal studies. And as you know, those studies, they need to recruit a lot of patients and we need to follow them for a good number of time. I mean, we're talking potentially years in this space, right? And so I think, you know, we're looking still a few years down the road. So nothing is going to change in the immediate future. But to the second part of your question is, well, what actually, you know, does a rollout look like and what does the patient experience and what's going to change for them? You know, ultimately, if you can use gene therapy and leverage, you know, the eye as a factory for the medication, in other words, you know, treating these patients with potentially, you know, maybe a surgical treatment or a suprachoroidal treatment, or maybe even an intravitreal treatment, but then the eye does the heavy lifting and actually produces the therapeutic to neutralize the disease. Well, then, you know, you're talking about reducing that treatment burden. So patients go from getting an injection every month or two to maybe not needing many injections at all down the road. And so, you know, you ask any of the patients that are in our clinic now, and they would certainly consider that option given the alternative, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I guess on that note, I wanted to ask about PDS. I know we had a little bit of an update from you about a month or so ago now, but I just wanted to, you know, sort of follow up on that and, you know, see how that's sort of changing the treatment landscape in its own. You know, how has that been using it in practice?
Yeah, I think the patients of ours that have had a significant treatment burden have really benefited, but also, you know, in their own sense, they perceive it as a real kind of improvement in their care, right? Because these are patients that were coming in every month or two for an injection. And now, especially once you're a little further removed from the procedure itself, in other words, you know, a few months after the implantation of the PDS or the Susvimo, then you're seeing these patients, their follow-up eases up a little bit, right? And so when they're coming in, they may just be coming in just to check, hey, is there any fluid? Do we need to give you any additional therapy? And you know the data, most of these patients don't. And so, you know, we will get to a point in those patients as well when we know kind of what their disease is doing and how it's responding to these implants. Okay, well, maybe I can see them every 3 months or every 6 months as we move down the road. And that's a real game changer for a lot of these patients. A lot of the patients that we've seen that have benefited from it are these patients that have a hard time getting to clinic. They have to rely on a family member or they have to take transportation. And it's a real all-day effort for them. And so we see them kind of benefiting the most and really appreciating the value of it.
Great. Fantastic. Yeah, I just wanted to ask as sort of a final question, you know, is there anything else upcoming that's exciting you or, you know, that you're excited about?
Yeah, you know, I think I'll give you an example, like home OCT, right? Home OCT is an example of really using up-to-date technology. And, you know, we do lots of stuff from home now. We bank from home. We do all kinds of stuff from home, right? So why shouldn't we be able to do some of these medical monitoring, you know, activities? You know, we can check blood pressure and things like that, but now we get to actually look inside the eye. And as providers that have to treat lots of patients, you know, we get to then be a little more selective of who comes in for care and actually, you know, be able to treat the patients that really, really need it. And for the patients that maybe don't need to come in as often because we know what's going on because of the home OCT. That's just an example of really what I think of as progress and how things are moving forward.
We'd like to thank Dr. Sheth for joining the program, and thank you so much for listening. If you want more ophthalmology news, make sure to follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. We'll be back next week with a new episode of Doc Talk. Until then, stay safe and stay healthy.